Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson this week. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. Hammer, there is a list of the, top 15, top 20 Democratic presidential candidates for 2020? Is that the next time we're going to have to deal with all this crap again?
We're 23 days away from the inauguration of the past election, and we're already talking about the 2020 election, at least the website TheHill.com is. TheHill.com released a list of the top 15 Democratic candidate possibilities for 2020. Now, Nigel, I want to run through some of these names to you because you are more centered than I am. I am an unapologetic member of the right. I am all in. So all these people, as far as I'm concerned, can take a one-way ticket to hell. But you, on the other hand, you've got more of an open mind because you hate everybody.
I have a little more even. No, I don't hate everybody. Of course, I have a little even. I kind of pick and choose things that I like from each party, including the libertarians. And I kind of gather them all in my little bag. I pick and choose things I like, much like I do the Bible. And then I will come up with my own decision. I don't have a
You're not all in on one side or the other.
I'm not all in one side or the other, no. I keep an open mind, and I like to form my own positions by reading other people's opinions. Very simple.
All right.
Right.
So you're probably the best person to see if this list excites you in any way. All right. So knowing that it's probably going to be Donald Trump or maybe Ivanka Trump, I don't know, running in 2020, these could be some folks on the Democratic side. Let me know if these names excite you. And this is from TheHill.com. Number 15 on the list, Oprah. Oprah Winfrey.
You know, as I sit here and laugh at that, I'm thinking to myself, no, you can no longer laugh at things like that. You can no longer laugh at those predictions because look at who is coming into the White House. Oprah Winfrey. Help me, Oprah Winfrey. Help me, Tom Cruise. You can't laugh at things like that anymore in this day and age. It could be a total possibility that Oprah Winfrey will run for president.
The presidential election has become American Idol. It really has. As long as you've got a witty catchphrase and you can shine when the lights are on, man, you've got a shot.
In 2008, I mean, good Lord, could you have imagined somebody, okay, we're going to talk about the Republicans here in 8 years. Who is going to run? Donald. I would have done the same thing. I'd laugh my ass off. You would have said Donald Trump. But now that you say Oprah,
Why the hell not?
I did laugh. As I was laughing, I was thinking, wait a minute, you can't laugh at things like that anymore because that's not out of the realm of possibility.
This is from TheHill.com, the top 15 Democratic possibilities for 2020.
Democrats, by the way, a little antsy. It's a little antsy talking about who their next candidate's going to be for 2020, right?
It's like that team that loses a game in the playoffs and they're already talking about, I can't wait to get back to spring training. Number 14 on that list, Senator Tim Kaine. Now, the last time we saw Tim Kaine, he was campaigning with Pantsuit Patty on her ticket, vice presidential candidate. We saw him in the nationally televised debate where Mike Pence cleaned his clock. Does Tim Kaine excite you? Does it bring excitement to an election?
Tim Kaine was like everybody's dad, right?
Yeah.
He's like the old man. No, that doesn't get very exciting. No.
The old man that still thinks he's kind of cool but really isn't.
No, I don't. I mean, maybe presidential, maybe, but that doesn't do anything for me at all.
Tim Kaine is the dad that comes down in the basement when the kids are playing Madden, and he's got the pizza rolls in his hand. He's like, hey, won't you let me play? And he doesn't know what button does anything. That's Tim Kaine. Not going to read all of these names, but number 12 on this list, Hillary Clinton.
Are you kidding me? Hillary made the list?
Could she run again? It's a possibility, according to TheHill.com.
She would not survive. She barely survived this election. She's going to try it for a third time? No way. There's no way.
And because she is who she is, 4 years from now, we'll have even more scandals to talk about.
Come on now.
Coming in at number nine on this list from TheHill.com of possible presidential candidates for the Democrats in 2020, Uncle Joe, Joe Biden.
Wait a minute. So how old will he be?
He will be 77 by that election day. You think he's senile now? Put a few more years on him. You think the memes about him are funny now? Just wait a few more years when he doesn't have to be in the White House and he can get drunk and say whatever the hell he wants anywhere.
That's certainly a name that could be that could make the top five easily.
Coming in at number six on this list, I don't buy this at all. But First Lady Michelle Obama.
It'd be like a Michelle Obama Oprah ticket.
That would be the dream team for the Democratic Party, right?
Oh, my word. First of all, I think it was Oprah that interviewed Michelle Obama, and she said, there's no way I'm ever running for anything. She just wants nothing to do with any sort of political office at all. So I don't see that one, but, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows?
Coming in at number three on this list, according to TheHill.com. Now, this is somebody that I actually would consider a threat to the Republican Party, Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. Now, Senator Cory Booker is the young guy, and I can't stress this enough. He's the only one on this list that isn't like 70 years old and white. So Cory Booker could have kind of that Obama pull and kind of, you know, bring some energy and some life because he's younger and he's got some passion and things behind him.
Of course. You said it. He's the only one on this list that's not 70 years old. Some youth, some energy, and I'm surprised he's not higher on that list.
Well, coming in at number two, Bernie. He's back. Weekend at Bernie's.
The burn.
Feel the burn. He would be 79 on a 2020 run.
He's number two on this list on TheHill.com?
Yeah. And coming in at number one.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Back up. I find it, you said that if Bernie Sanders would have been named the Democratic presidential nominee, that he would have beat, you think he would have beat Trump, right?
Absolutely. Bernie Sanders would have beat Donald Trump in an election. Now, before I get bombarded with mean tweets, I wouldn't have liked it. I would have voted for Trump. But just being realistic, Bernie Sanders would have got the people to go out and vote that did not go out and vote for Hillary Clinton.
The DNC and Hillrod put a kibosh on that, didn't they?
That's what Hillrod does. But coming in at number one on this list from TheHill.com, and you can see this at other places as well, there's been some chatter that she is going to run. That is Senator Elizabeth Warren. That was Hill Dog's best friend during this campaign.
I know conservatives don't like her at all. Is she a very likable candidate?
No, not at all. Not at all. And again, it's another old, crotchety white person. For how long do we hear that was the biggest beef about the Republican Party? This old, mean white people that want you to get off their lawn.
Exactly.
Well, now look at every one of these people the Democrats are possibly trotting out there. Elizabeth Warren, and I've said it once and I will say it again, her and Lou Holtz are the same person. They are the exact same person. Elizabeth Warren.
I don't see the resemblance. I'm sorry.
Look at that.
No, I'm not looking.
She won a national championship as head coach with Notre Dame in 1988.
So which ones on that list do you think? Is it Corey for you? The number one? That makes the most sense.
You know, if I'm with the left, you know, it's got to be Corey. Corey was the only one I think that can provide a little fire, a little spark, and get some of the younger folks to go out and vote.
Shocking news coming up, Hammer, regarding CNN. The 2016 cable ratings are out. Overall, CNN, not too good. And you'll never guess the cable network that beat them out as far as overall ratings were for 2016.
WWE Network.
No.
Please tell me that was one of them.
Not the WWE Network. We will fill you in on that news next. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
The Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson, at Chad Benson Show, the Twitter handle. Or you can get all of us at Hammer and Nigel is the easiest way. I'm Nigel, by the way. Hammer's contention that CNN, you think, is the biggest loser of the election cycle.
One could argue Ted Cruz. One could argue Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
But CNN, they lost a lot during this past election cycle. Absolutely.
How do you mean? What happened?
Well, heading into 2016, and even a little bit before then, CNN as a news network, they were kind of viewed as the station that was the most in the middle. Okay, if you follow politics hardcore, you probably know they leaned a little left, but it wasn't MSNBC left, and it wasn't Fox News right. They were the network that was viewed the closest, without bias, in the middle. Okay, that was the perception. But during the campaign, they decided to go all in. They went in bed with Hillary. They partnered up with Pantsuit Patty, and it backfired. Hillary did not win the election. And now CNN is left standing here, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to cover Donald Trump, because I've said in the past, Donald Trump does not need the news media. Now they're standing here not knowing what to do, and their ratings are in decline.
Why doesn't the Don need the media?
The Don doesn't need the media
because he's got Twitter.
He's his own media. I mean, never before have we had a president that basically is a one-man media outlet, and Donald Trump is that. And we'll talk about this coming up in just a little bit.
Yeah.
CNN kind of got their panties in a wad last night, which seemed incredibly hypocritical to me. But at the end of the day, CNN picked a side. They've never really picked a side before, but they clearly went all in with Hillary, and their candidate lost. So now they're standing there holding their junk in their hand, not knowing what to do.
That's certainly an interesting way of putting it. What's this clip of Don Lemon? What is this?
So last night.
Is this last night?
Yeah,
last night. Okay.
Don Lemon, doing his program on CNN along with his co-anchor, were talking about Donald Trump. Now, there have been a lot of crazy things said on CNN, specifically about Donald Trump. But when Don Lemon stated that the Donald needs the media more than the media needs Donald, that was ridiculous. And Don Lemon also went on to state that he doesn't really want to cover the tweets from Donald Trump.
Look, hate us all you want, the media. It's actually, you need to be responsive to the American people.
Right.
The people that elected you, and we are that line to the
even
people.
The people who didn't vote for him.
Yeah, outside of Twitter.
Well,
you cannot explain complex things on Twitter.
No, listen, I'm not a news executive, but if I were, I would say I would not cover his tweets.
Now, to put that conversation into context, so we're all on the same page here, the folks from CNN were upset that Donald Trump hasn't had any official press conferences lately since he became the president-elect. Yet they had no problem at all going all in with Hillary, who never had any press conferences during her time on the campaign. And anybody that covered any part of politics during 2016, every single Donald Trump campaign stump ended up being a makeshift press conference. But because he hasn't scheduled any since he got the title, now all of their panties are in a wad, and Don Lemon doesn't want to cover the tweets because it's not news.
Which, that's exactly what they are. Every time he tweets, it's news. And for him to say, if I was a news director, I wouldn't even cover, that's a little disingenuous. Please. And we mentioned ratings. There was an interesting piece on Bloomberg.com that talks about the CNN ratings decline. I'm just going to read straight from the article here. The escapist appeal of looking at other people's beautiful homes turned home and garden television into the third most watched cable network of 2016, ahead of CNN and just behind only Fox and ESPN. HGTV. Hammer.
Yes. HGTV beat CNN in the ratings this past year. And you hate to see bad things happen to people, but sometimes bad things need to happen to people who have made bad decisions.
Well, this article on Bloomberg.com goes on to kind of explain why they think, what's the reason, what's the reason you think HGTV, Hammer, came ahead in CNN in the overall ratings?
I don't know. I don't even know where HGTV is on my cable outlet.
It's because CNN picked a side, probably, as one.
Well, right.
I think this article in Bloomberg, you can't get hurt watching HGTV. It's pretty much the same formula. Every show's the same on HGTV. I'll tell you what it is, because my wife watches it all the time. Some guy buys a crappy house, fixes it up, flips it, sells it for $50,000 more than he bought it for. That's it.
That's the entire programming lineup.
that is it for HGTV. Flip this house or a variation. I saw one where people now are building little houses, like tiny houses that like you just sleep in and live in and that's it.
Right.
I was watching that the other night. And then there's, you know, Flip or Flop, Masters of Flip. Flip this house, flip you off. HGTV. Let me read this again. HGTV. Oh, it was the third most watched cable network in 2016 ahead of CNN and behind only Fox and ESPN. Now, of course, you say CNN picked a side, but so did Fox News.
Obviously. Right, but you know what you're getting into with those networks. Like, if you watch Fox, you know you're getting a conservative point of view. If you watch MSNBC, you know you're getting a leftist point of view. CNN tried to play both sides of the equation, but clearly they were on one side. People aren't stupid, especially the people that tune in to cable news. If you're watching cable news on the regular, you're probably not an idiot, and you can tell what's going on. I think they alienated a large amount of people and viewers by trying to do that.
I loved HGTV back in the day. They had the show Flip This House, and this guy, he was kind of a surly bastard, and I loved it, Armando Montalongo.
What was his name again?
Armando Montalongo. Somebody tweet at me and tell me where Armando Montalongo is, because he did Flip This House like back in 2007, 8, 9, and I couldn't get enough of it. I liked it just for him. He, like, you know, his whole thing is he rode into San Antonio on fumes, didn't have any money, and then now he built this huge real estate empire. So somebody at Hammer and Nigel.
Is that the same network where the two chicks and a hammer live? Is that that show that's on that network? Again, I don't know anything about it. If it's not a Family Guy rerun, a sporting event, or news, it's probably not getting watched at the Hammer House.
You really need to get some culture in your life. You really need to expand your horizon. How much are you paid for your cable bill right now? We talked about this, right?
$240 a month.
My wife called today. Just got ours reduced to about $119 a month. Intro. All right, we'll be back. The Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. In for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. One of the things we've been doing this week, since it's the last week of 2016, is taking a look back. Some of our favorite audio clips, news bloopers. And by the way, Chad Benson will be back next week. It's not. Don't worry. We're done after Friday. So Chad's taking vacation, and he will be back, I believe, sometime next week. Hammer, let's take a look back at election night.
November. Election night and the following nights, man. It was appointment TV, must-see TV, history being made, actually. Some would argue that it was the biggest upset in the history of the presidential race.
I do a rock music morning show. I went to bed about 8 o'clock that night. I did. I really just couldn't stand one more second of the election. And
you were so fascinated and moved by the election that you went to bed at 8 that night.
I'm a light sleeper, too, so I was waking up every few hours, and my wife stayed up, and she was, you know, and I'd ask her, who's winning?
She could have told you, like, Eisenhower, and you would have been, all right, and rolled back over. But let's go back to election night and the following nights, and the coverage on television was amazing. It was appointment television, and when Trump won North Carolina, that's when things really started getting real for these Never Trumpers and the folks at MSNBC. And when they have to announce that Donald Trump has won North Carolina, listen closely to hear Rachel Maddow's reaction in the background.
Donald Trump is being awarded North Carolina.
Whoa. Well, that's a pitch.
Just came in 15 electoral votes.
Off microphone. You can hear Rachel Maddow in the background.
Let me play it again because I haven't heard this.
Carolina.
Whoa. Well, that's a just.
Well, that's a biatch. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
This is a major news network.
That's unbelievable.
That's their reaction.
Carolina.
Whoa.
Well, that's a just.
Watching MSNBC's meltdown. Well, not everybody. Certain people at MSNBC was amazing. Because actually, Chris Matthews handled it pretty well. And Joe Scarborough has handled it pretty well. But Rachel Maddow saying, well, that's a biatch after the win in North Carolina. That just made my night.
You know, I realize she's an opinionated person. She has her thoughts, but she's anchoring the election. She leave that at home for one night and just tell us who won. Wow.
And the fact that it was kind of off microphone makes it even better. And then later on that night, something you never thought you would hear. You go to CNN, Wolf Blitzer's been anchoring the coverage all night long. You know, this is his Christmas. This is his Super Bowl. The Wolf lives for these kind of moments. He had to say the words that these never-Trumpers dreaded to hear.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon and TV personality capping his improbable political journey with an astounding upset victory. Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton in a campaign unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime.
At least he kept it professional. No curse words under his breath.
No, he did a good job with that. You could just tell, though, he was reading that thinking, oh, my God, I can't actually believe I'm saying these exact words now.
See, I don't know that I got that from that clip. I don't think it was coming from a place of disbelief. I think he was just, I mean, that music was playing underneath him. I don't know. Maybe I should listen to it again when we get done. But I thought he was just, I don't think he was coming like a stunned Hillary supporter.
Well, he mentioned it was like an upset and one of the most amazing races or whatever he said.
Which it was. Okay.
So we'll play that again here in just a little bit. But on that same network that Wolf Blitzer had that, you know, over-the-top announcement, you have Van Jones. You've got Van Jones, CNN pundit, all in on the left side, all in on Hillary Clinton, overreacting to the election, having the poor, poor, pitiful children response.
And then you have this outcome, and you have people putting children to bed tonight, and they're afraid of breakfast. They're afraid of, how do I explain this to my children?
How do I explain this? The poor children! Who's going to save the children?
I'm shaking my head right now because you got to remember, I wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to come to work, so I've missed all this. Who is that? Van Jones? What am I going to, I'm afraid to go to get my kids. I'm going to play it one more time.
You have this outcome, and you have people putting children to bed tonight, and they're afraid of breakfast. They're afraid of, how do I explain this to my children?
Explain what?
Here's what you say to your children. More people decided that Donald Trump should be the president than Hillary Clinton. The Electoral College spoke. That's how he won. Here are the pancakes.
What am I going to say to my kids? If you're putting that kind of crap into your kid's head where, you know, they're 8 years old and they're scared of what's coming, that's on you as a parent because you're putting that there. There's no way an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 5-year-old kid should be crying about the election. They shouldn't be scared to go to breakfast.
You're right. Wow. And we saw that on social media. How many people kept writing, my daughter is crying this morning? Then you're a horrible parent.
Exactly.
You're a horrible parent. And speaking of crying, let's talk about our good friend Martha Raddatz of ABC.
Okay.
Martha Raddatz is a horrible, horrible woman and clearly had an agenda. And when she was speaking about the Donald Trump win on television, actually, and I'm not just saying this to be over the top, teared up and cried.
Tim Kaine has a son in the Marine Corps. He was asked by John Dickerson, so if Donald Trump is democratically elected and your son is serving as a Marine, you wouldn't trust his life under that commander-in-chief? And Kaine said, I wouldn't. That's a pretty extraordinary thing to say. If you have a son in the Marine Corps, and that you don't trust the commander-in-chief. The people in the military defend the Constitution.
Jeez. You were a moderator at a debate, and you're crying because of an election result.
Can I say something here?
Go, Phil.
There was nobody crying when there were a bunch of people who, after Obama was elected, said that, well, I'm not going to deploy now because I don't think he's legitimate. I don't think he's my president. And no newscaster cried over them.
Right.
What a great point.
Absolutely right. And the message I have to Martha Raddatz and the message I have to Van Jones can be heard in the movie Joe Dirt.
You crying, boy? You crying, boy? Maybe we'll go back down to McDonald's and get you a Whamburger and some French fries.
anytime we work in a clip from Joe Dirt, that's a good show right there.
We're suckers for a good Joe Dirt reference. Donald Trump finally came out election night in the wee hours of the morning, talked about how even though we did not hear from Hillary Clinton that night, she did call him and say ball game.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
That was the wee hours of the morning after the election. And Hillary did not make a concession speech that night. If you remember, she had her hall filled with her supporters. They were ready for a big celebration.
Oh, right. She didn't even show up.
Yeah, she didn't show up.
She must have been a mess.
They had the glass ceiling they were ready to break.
Yeah. They were with her.
Man, Donald Trump, could you imagine that call? After all the vicious things they said to each other, having to take the call from Clinton, that I would have loved to have been, you know, the CIA bugging that conversation. I would have been loved to listen into that.
There were a lot of reports that Hillary kind of threw a temper tantrum when she knew she was not going to win. I don't have any proof of that, but I've heard that that's kind of been her MO her entire political career. And then the next day, not the night of the election, the next day, Hillary Clinton comes out and makes this statement about the election. And the only way it could be more sad and more sorry is if you put the really sad walking away music from the Incredible Hulk behind it.
Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead.
All that music.
Bill Bixby's hitching a ride down the road. Hillary Clinton's right beside him.
Hey, did you, because I know you're a Cubs fan, and when the Cubs won the World Series, Hammer, it was late at night, and you ran out into the front yard and poured beer all over yourself in your boxer briefs. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is not an urban legend. That is fact.
Did that happen? Okay. I'm assuming you probably did the same thing when they called the Trump election.
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I kept waiting for the official announcement because you were checking Twitter. You were going back and forth between all the news networks. And, you know, Fox News, of course, was the first one to have him with a shot to win. Everybody else kind of lagged behind a little bit, and you kept waiting for it to be final. You kept waiting for Michigan to get called. And then Pennsylvania became final, Florida became final, Ohio, and you thought, holy hell, he's pulled it off. It was amazing. I wasn't as happy as to when the Cubs won, because that was 108 years in the making, and that was a long-time family bond, but I was pretty damn happy.
Coming up next, another Hollywood celebrity, another deleted tweet. And actually, I think you and I are both on the side of the celebrity on this one, Hammer. We'll get to that next. Hammer and Nigel Show, filling in for Chad Benson.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show, in for Chad Benson. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer over there. Have some sad breaking news out of the West Coast. Hammer, go ahead.
2016 has added yet another name to the long list of people it has taken from us. Debbie Reynolds, the mother of Carrie Fisher, has died at the age of 84. She suffered a stroke earlier in the day. TMZ is now reporting she has passed away at the age of 84. Nigel, earlier today, Debbie Reynolds was with her son Todd making funeral arrangements for Carrie. And now she has passed away at the age of 84.
So you're sitting there with your mom making arrangements for your sister, her daughter, who's passed away, and then you have to wind up calling 911 to come get your mom, and she passes away a day later, a day after her daughter. That's terrible. That is tragic.
Todd has released a statement stating that simply, she's with Carrie. That's all he would say. TMZ was the first to report on this. Debbie Reynolds, the mother of Carrie Fisher, huge megastar in her own right. But wow, the timing of this is just so heartbreaking, so bizarre. Put yourself in Todd's position. You had to say goodbye to your sister yesterday, and now you've got to say goodbye to your mother. I mean, my goodness.
Let me read a little bit more from Debbie's biography here. Debbie Reynolds famously divorced Eddie Fisher in 1959 after his affair with Elizabeth Taylor. She married two more times in 60 and in 84. She played iconic roles in Tammy and the Bachelor and the unsinkable Molly Brown. She rose to stardom in Singing in the Rain. Carrie's relationship with Debbie was the focus of Carrie's semi-autobiographical book, Postcards from the Edge, which, you know, that later turned, that was adapted for the big screen, starring Meryl Streep and Shirley MacLaine. Again, Debbie's survived by her son, Todd, who simply said, quote, she's with Carrie. Debbie Reynolds gone at the age of 84. That is sad, man. That is tough.
Don't they say celebrities go in packs of three? Is that the old adage?
I think they say that generally about everybody. Like, if you surrounding in your life, you know, the deaths happen in threes. I don't know why.
So we have George Michael on Christmas, followed by Carrie Fisher.
Wow.
And now Debbie Reynolds. I mean, 2016 has been a brutal year in terms of celebrities passing away. I mean, I can't even imagine the hell that Todd is going through right now. We were kind of talking off air that, you know, planning the funeral of a child has to be the most heartbreaking thing a parent can ever do. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are.
Right.
You know, just earlier today, Debbie Reynolds was making funeral plans for her child. And I've been to the funeral of a child. Not my own, but I've had family members who have had young kids pass away from cancer. And it is the most absolute gut-wrenching thing you could ever go to. It's draining. It's a life-changing experience when you go to the funeral of someone's child.
Well, you know, and she was elder. I mean, she's 84 years old. She was obviously under a tremendous amount of stress. I'm only assuming, losing a child has to cause just a tremendous amount of stress on your heart. And Debbie was rushed to the hospital shortly after 1 o'clock when someone at the Beverly Hills home told her son, Todd, called 911 to report a possible stroke. This, again, from TMZ.com breaking. Debbie Reynolds, mother of Carrie Fisher, who just passed away yesterday, passing away today at the age of 84 from a possible stroke. That's tough, man.
May the strength be with Todd, because, you know, I'm an only child. I don't have any siblings, but I can only figure the grief that goes through when you lose a brother or a sister. You've got brothers. I mean, I can't even imagine what it would be like if you lost one of them. And then your mother right after that. I mean, good Lord, may the strength be with Todd. But 2016, man, just a horrible, horrible year for losing some amazing, amazing people. And it was just yesterday, we were talking about Carrie Fisher and that bizarre tweet that went out from not only Cinnabon, but Steve Martin as well.
Well, Steve Martin tweeted out, and he later deleted the tweet. Here's what Steve Martin tweeted. When I was a young man, Carrie Fisher was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen. She turned out to be witty and bright as well. A lot of people had problems with that tweet because Carrie Fisher spent a lot of her career fighting against, you know, sexist coverage of her work and, you know, misogyny in general in Hollywood. So I think to be characterized as a beautiful creature didn't really quite sit right with some of Carrie Fisher's fans. And then Steve Martin gave in, deleted the tweet. which it's never really deleted.
Right. I don't think Steve Martin should have deleted a thing. I don't think it was that bad. I don't think he intended it to be derogatory in any way.
There was no intention whatsoever. He was being nice. He was paying tribute. And I think from what I've seen on Twitter, more people were upset that he gave in to PCBS and deleted the tweet than people were actually upset of the tweet itself.
Because the way that he wrote it,
just, you can't win.
It seemed like he was trying to take the high road, though, right? He mentioned her beauty and her talent, but he did it in a classy way. It wasn't like, hey, sweet thing, I wish you would have taken off your shirt.
Yeah,
it
no.
wasn't like that at all. It was, you know, paying, you know, tribute to a beautiful woman who was a smart and talented woman.
Lesson learned on Twitter. Steve Martin, if you're a celebrity, you're on Twitter. I don't really ever see the upside to it at all about tweeting anything. What's the upside?
I see how you connect with fans. That's their upside.
Why would you want to connect with fans on Twitter? If you're a multimillionaire, big-time super movie star, I don't want to connect with fans.
I crave the attention.
I like the fame. I like the money. But I don't like being around actual people. The Hammer and Nigel Show. In for Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.